Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Hey everybody, we're back with the second part of Mardi Gras. And so in the previous episode, we talked about what Mardi Gras is. So if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it. But we also talked about how the focus has went away from Christ and has geared more toward sin. I encourage you to go listen to that before you listen to this part two. So the second point we had is a season of sin. So like we mentioned earlier, Mardi Gras is a very sinful event. And the premise of Mardi Gras may have had good intentions, but I believe it has negatively impacted many souls and their relationship with God. For one, we talked about how Mardi Gras has abandoned God, but I want to talk about how it can reflect the demonic mindset among some Christians. As we mentioned in the previous podcast, if you attend Mardi Gras in New Orleans, and I'm sure it's like this in other towns as well, you'll find that these celebrations are full of sinful activities. And there's no indication or reverence for God. I know Greg talked about that in the previous episode about how, even when you watch short videos, you don't see God in any of it. And this is a wide variety of different sins, but, I mean, from women celebrating topless to drunkenness, to gluttony, to scantily and provocative costumes of the float crews, and active celebration of homosexuality, you'll find that the God we serve isn't glorified in any of these events.
Right.
And it's disgraceful because this is so-called a Christian event. And even though it's geared more toward Catholic and Catholicism, it's sad and a pity that something that was originally oriented for Christ has went so far away. But you can see the people here who are actively sinning and stuff. There's no thought of the repercussions of their sins, right? It made me think how some Christians today think that it's okay to sin, even if it's just for a day. Mardi Gras, like I mentioned in the previous episode, it has multiple days of parades that lead up to it. Maybe it's a season of sin. I think it's okay to sin during this season, in this season of Mardi Gras, I can have fun because I'm about to fast, for 40 days. So one last hurrah before before I go into this strict life of where I'm focused primarily on Christ. And I'm sure many of the people that go to Mardi Gras or that go to the parades and the celebrations, I'm sure most of them probably aren't Christians, I would venture to say. And, I would say the majority of them are just going to party and have fun. But you wouldn't see people coming to the church to party and have fun. And something that's supposed to be Christ-oriented, it has completely been replaced, like we talked about. And many Christians today have this mindset that it's okay to sin just for this season and then go back to serving God. Sin, and I think it's because sin has been watered down in mm-hmm. our country. And, you know, sometimes Christians don't recognize the negative impacts of committing sin. Sin destroys your fellowship with God, and you can't be a part-time Christian. I talked at the end of the last episode about how you can't serve God mm-hmm. and mammon. But many people still think it's okay to sin, even, like, it's okay. I've done good. You know, I've done good. I deserve to splurge a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. You know, for example, I mean, you know, some people think it's okay to give in to gluttony on occasion. You know, I haven't ate here in a while, so I'm going to get my money's worth, right? Yeah. I've been there, right? I don't know if y'all have been there. You know, I haven't.
I'm there every week.
But, you know, some people think it's okay. For example, some people think it's okay on Sunday to go out and eat as much as you want till you can't breathe no more, mm. right?
Why are you looking at me?
Because you said you go every week. You brought it upon yourself. But some people will leave church. Keep in mind, they leave church and look down on other people for their sin.
Right.
But then they'll go to a restaurant, look at each other and say, this person shouldn't be working on a Sunday. And they wouldn't be if you didn't go.
Right.
Right? They look at this person, they shouldn't be working on a Sunday. And then they'll eat till they can't breathe, yeah. which is gluttony.
Right.
And a lot of time, gluttony is right beside drunkenness in the Bible, right? Yeah. So, you know, you see. And then
they'll mistreat the server.
Yeah, then they'll mistreat the server.
Say things they shouldn't.
Right. But you can see how, you know, Sunday we go out to eat, so I'm going to eat my money's worth. That's sin.
Mm-hmm.
To partake in gluttony, that's sin, and mm-hmm. they think that's okay. You'll see some people who think it's okay to party and get drunk on your birthday, right? I've known people like that, you know, that you know, that lost you know, lost their testimony because they think it's okay to go sin on their birthday. It's never okay
no.
to sin at all. Or you'll see people that go for a week to the beach and get drunk on the beach all week, right? I've known people like that.
Right.
I've been that person. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I know people like that, and it's not a good mindset to think of your servitude toward God as being temporary or seasonal.
Right.
You'll see some people that think it's okay to partake in sinful sexual activities since it hasn't been a while, whether that be in pornography or fornication. Yeah. You know, sometimes Christians give in to this demonic mindset that it's okay if I sin every so often. God knows I'm going to sin. And that's a terrible mindset to have. Even though we will sin, it should not be our desire to sin.
Right.
You know, and it's sad that so many Christians have this philosophy that occasional sin is not a bad thing. But sin, no matter what it is turning against God.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's turning against His will for our lives. It's not His will that we sin against Him.
Well, I mean, sin is sin, and we shouldn't mm-hmm. want to partake in any of it. You know, our human sinful nature, there's things that, I mean, you pointed out I'm a glutton, but but you know, maybe I think it's okay to glutton, but it's not okay to steal or kill.
Right.
When it's all sin.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, in James it says, you know, if you fall short at one aspect of the law, you're guilty of it all.
Right.
So, you know, people have a tendency to categorize sin. And right. it's because we're flesh.
Right.
I mean, you look at somebody in jail, I mean, somebody who's a serial killer, we wouldn't rate them on the same level as somebody that committed tax fraud.
Right.
Right? So, but when it comes to sin, all sin is going against God, right? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so many people have this mindset that I'm only committing these little sins,
right.
You know, or I don't normally do these big sins, but since it's a big event, I'll sin today, right? Or maybe you're just going through something and you don't care, right? And that's sad to say, right. And I say, oh, me,
sure.
Whenever I, you know, and it all stems from where I'm not where I need to be with Christ, right? Like I mentioned earlier, you know, you push Christ away, your flesh is going to start creeping up in you.
Well, I mean, it's basic disobedience. I mean, all of our sinful natures is just a basic disobedience to God.
Mm-hmm.
In our human nature, nobody wants to drive the speed limit. I don't care what you make the speed limit.
Right.
You know, when here on our highways and our interstates, it's 70 miles an hour. You go out to Nebraska and Wyoming, it's 80 and 85, and you can run 80 and 85, and people pass you like you're running backwards.
Right.
It's disobedience. It's our human sinful nature.
Yes.
To do what we're not supposed to.
Right.
And then if you go all the way back to Genesis, disobedience went from just a simple act of doing what they were asked not to do to murder in one generation.
Yeah.
And that's just I'm not making excuses, but that's just our sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was to appease the flesh. It's always the fight against the spirit and the flesh. The spirit within us, that was God,
mm-hmm.
versus our flesh, or like you said, our nature from before. And that's the battle every day. Like Paul said, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Kill the flesh so that the spirit can work, you know, and resist the devil, he'll flee. But, you know, if you don't resist that temptation, then you make an occasion for the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the battle is every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so you choose pleasure or obedience, you know. In the long run, we know obedience is worth it all.
Right.
And, you know, you have peace in your heart when you're obedient, you know, and you avoid all that uncertainty and all that fear and all that anxiety when you're obedient. But when you're not, all those things are part of the price,
mm-hmm.
right?
You know, and we give in to that,
right?
Like say, you know, I went, you know, 3 months and lost 50 pounds,
right?
So today I'm gonna splurge.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? The next 3 months are gonna be really hard, yeah. You know, after doing that.
Yeah.
But you know, you think you're rewarding yourself, but really you're hurting yourself.
Right. Well, that's what I told Rachel, because I've been on a diet, and just about every week I tell her, I'm like, I'm craving Mexican food so bad. I've lost like 15 pounds in like 3 weeks.
Mm.
We're going on our cruise soon, so she's like, well, we can go after we go on our cruise.
Yeah.
But like, I know me, that if I splurge, if I have a splurge day, mm-hmm. on the weekend, like a bad splurge day, it'll turn into a splurge weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Which then turns into a splurge week that I gain all the weight back,
yeah.
and then I start from...
Yeah. There's no such thing as a cheap meal.
Right, right. But
there's no such thing, right?
But that goes with what you're saying, is, you know, you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
In Galatians 6, verses 8 through 9, it says... For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth of the Spirit shall reap the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you sow of the flesh, you will reap of the flesh, mm-hmm. which is exactly what you were talking about. You know, if you sow of the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Many times in my own life, I have reaped the negative consequences right. of what I have sown. Mm-hmm. Sin does not go unpunished.
Nope.
If you are a child of God, and we've talked about this multiple times on here, but if you're truly a child of God and you sin, like what we've been talking about, if you think that you can sin occasionally, and if you can sin occasionally and not have any consequences from that, willfully and continually sin like that, then you're not a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is another wake-up call, I guess, mm-hmm. to anybody listening that thinks they're fine sinning like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are fine sinning like this, there's no conviction in you, you know, because right. the Spirit lives within you. If you're saved, the Spirit lives within you. So there's going to be some spiritual discernment mm-hmm. and some conviction before you sin.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be conviction after you sin too, but there'll also be consequences after you sin as well. And if you don't have that, if you don't have that conviction and that discernment from the Holy Spirit, and you don't have the chastisement of God afterwards, then chances are you're not a child of God, right? You know, God tells us He chastiseth those whom He loveth, and those who are all His children. But if He doesn't chastise you, then you're a bastard. You're not a child mm-hmm. of His. So that's just a call for those who think it's okay to do these things. If you think it's okay, I'm not telling you to try it out and see. But if you think it's okay, if you can do that without chastisement and without conviction, then you're not a child of God. And that might sound harsh, but that's just what the Bible has to say about right. it. And sin doesn't go unnoticed, and it's not ignored by our Heavenly Father. Though in the meantime, it's fun, right? And sometimes you don't think about the consequences. We're talking about Mardi Gras here. Mm-hmm. Those people there aren't thinking about the consequences. They're not thinking about that day two hangover on Ash Wednesday, right?
Well, and I think most of those people too, and I'm not, you know, I'm not casting judgment on them because I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. But I don't think that they're necessarily thinking what God thinks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they're necessarily thinking what their neighbor thinks. It's all about fun to them. It's all about, you know, enjoying it all. And you know, I think the whole thing sickens God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't, you know, none of it is glorifying or uplifting to God. Mm-hmm. And I think it sickens his stomach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's publicly glorified. Sin is publicly glorified mm-hmm. in many yeah. cases. I mean, you have Pride Month. I mean, you have the term sex sells. Mm-hmm. That's because it does.
It does, mm-hmm. right.
And then, you know, you have, you know, the alcoholic beverages and those commercials. And you have the all-you-can-eat buffets.
Mm-hmm. The happy hours.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Greg. But they have this idea of it's fun to get drunk. It's fun to do all these things. I'll be honest. Gluttony is something I struggle with, right? It might not seem like a lot to some people, but sin is still sin, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. It has a major consequence.
And how do you feel? I don't know if y'all deal with this, probably Greg, but when you overeat, do you feel better?
No.
Oh, you absolutely feel not. You feel much worse.
The problem with gluttony is the pleasure in it.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you love food
mm-hmm.
and love the taste of food and this, that, and the other, and it's not about getting what you need to sustain you, it's more about wanting what you see,
right,
then yeah, you're gonna overeat. I don't care. I can walk through on homecoming and get a tiny spoonful of everything on that table, and I'll have more than I can eat.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I'm not eating a lot because I've got little tiny spoonfuls. But when you get done with all those little spoonfuls, mm-hmm. you've overeat.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that, you know, we're counting, we're enjoying it, and we're doing it for pleasure.
Right.
And our body's trying to tell us, hey, I was done an hour ago.
Right.
You know, but we don't listen to
The
reality of it. We're in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point of all of these things is an escape.
Mm-hmm.
It's an escape from reality, because most people don't want to live in reality. Live with the fact that you need God. That's why there's no mention of God.
Right.
You start bringing Jesus Christ down the parade, everybody's like, ugh.
Right.
'Cause it reminds them, wait a minute. You know, I believe anything about Jesus, he died for my sins.
Right.
Oh, we've got sin? I needed a Savior? They don't want to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to have a party.
And it just killed their alcohol sales.
It killed everything. The whole bus.
Right.
You know, because that brings them back to reality. And if you look, everything, phones, anything mm-hmm. that is an entertainment can become an escape.
Sure.
That's why people go to drugs, pornography, they go to alcohol, they mm-hmm. go to all these things. It takes you out of the moment for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? The moment's still there when you get back.
Right.
But that's why people stay in that. That's why they party. Because some parties will go on two or three days in a row. By the end of it, you got people laying everywhere. Or people don't know where they're at.
Right.
They've escaped, but then reality comes back. And that's the problem, is that when you're faced with reality, you begin to think about things.
Mm-hmm.
The devil don't want you to realize the truth.
Right.
You know, God can reach somebody that, you know, is in the mindset to understand. And you see that in the parties.
Mm-hmm.
They're partying because this is the moment. They're living it up, you know.
Right.
Like there's nothing else.
Right. And it's temporary, but they don't think about the repercussions from it. And I put on here that one of the biggest lies of Satan, and I don't know if y'all have heard this, but it's the greatest lie of Satan is that he has convinced others that he doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is much deeper of a quote than what mm-hmm. we're talking about.
Right.
But I think it's relevant because he has deceived people into thinking sin is okay. And he's deceived people into thinking that it's okay to break fellowship with God on these days. You know, on your birthday, go have fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're on vacation.
Reward yourself. Nobody's around.
Right.
Well.
Exactly.
And then you meet five couples that... You're in Panama City?
Back in 2013 and 2015, we were privileged enough to get to go to Las Vegas. And we went out there for the bull riding world finals. But both trips, we were there, you know, 7 or 8 days. So, you know, we were there for 2 weeks, a week at a time. And everywhere you look, there were billboards that said, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like people were using that as an excuse or an escape, because no one will know.
Right.
But there was one billboard. We would take a big charter bus from the resort over to the arena where they were bull riding. And every day we went by this one billboard, and it said, "What happens in Vegas, God still sees."
Mm-hmm.
Everyone saw the signs that said what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But how many people saw the sign, what happens in Vegas, God still sees?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what a lot of people's mindset is if nobody knows, mm-hmm. it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, God knows.
Hell yeah. I mean, you look at Adam and Eve in the garden, they tried to hide their sin.
Yeah. Right.
You look at David and Bathsheba, he tried to hide his sin by killing Uriah. I mean, he went through other steps before he got to killing him. But
but ultimately.
Right. He ultimately killed him. And God still sees. Yeah. I mean, and people might say he succeeded in killing Uriah and nobody knowing, right? But God spoke to him through Nathan and told him, hey, you're going to lose your first son because you've done this thing. God knows, and God will chastise you for doing it, even if it is in private. And it's never acceptable to sin. Though we sin at times, it should never be a Christian's desire to sin. Continual willful sin is not evidence of a heart that loves God. We've talked about a couple times on here about, you know, the fruits of the Spirit and, you know, the fruits of the flesh. And, you know, what you're exhibiting is what's on the inward man. I think that was a siren. But, you know, what you're exhibiting is evidence of what's on the inside. If you love God, your desire should be to follow His commandments. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. Always abounding in the word of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we're to always be working for the Lord, not just on occasion. In Titus 2, verses 11 through 13, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, it's an everyday thing. It's not, it shouldn't be a seasonal thing where, hey, I can take time off from being a Christian. Or, on the other side, we talked about this, you know, we talked about people who think they can sin in seasons, but there's also people who think they can be seasonal Christians. You know, we talked about how some people think they can live however they want and then be focused during Lent, that 40-day period. Be focused during then and then go back to living however they want to. And that's not right either. Our desire should be every day to grow closer to God. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be a part-time, you know, shouldn't be a part-time commitment. It should be a you know, an everyday dedication for Christ. And, you know, those people that do that thing, you know, and that are seasonal and only serve God at certain times, they will reap their reward. And there's no reward in, you know, no good reward in doing those things. Yeah. You know, somebody might be gaslighting themselves into making themselves think they're a Christian by partaking in Lent, so to speak. But, you know, like I mentioned earlier, if you're saved, you should have the Holy Spirit indwelling within you.
Yeah.
And there will be chastisement if you sin.
Well, if we would live faithful as He is faithful, that's the question. You know, would we want Him to be as faithful as we are to Him? And, of course, we know He's always faithful.
Right.
Yeah.
Even when we're not.
Right.
He takes care of us and loves us, you know, through it all. But, if people were, you know, if it was gauged by, you know, His faithfulness by theirs, you know, it'd be terrifying.
Yeah, for sure.
Of our own, you know, I mean, and nobody's above another. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, He's always faithful.
Yeah, and we have too many CEO Christians. Have you ever heard of that? CEO Christians. Christmas, Easter, and other major holidays.
I saw a church sign today that said, "We are open between Christmas and Easter."
That's good.
Man. But, yeah, some people think it. They're either seasonal sinners or they're seasonal servants. Mm-hmm. I just came up with that. That's good. Pastor Mike would like that one.
Yeah, write that down.
But
that's people, a sermon.
Yeah, it is. People are either seasonal servants or seasonal sinners, and it's not good to be either. Mm-hmm. And again, we kind of broke from Mardi Gras, but Mardi Gras is representative of this because Mardi Gras is a huge sinful celebration right before Lent, this holy holiday before Easter. Mm-hmm. And so I think it has negatively impacted some Christians into believing that it's okay to sin on occasion. And I wanted to address that because that's not what the Bible says. That's not what God tells us. He tells us that we are to serve every day, and not be a seasonal Christian. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, do y'all have anything else?
No, I think that's good.
All right. Well, I hope you all have enjoyed this this mini series on Mardi Gras. Hope you learned a little bit of something. I've been convicted with definitely a couple of these things as we've been reading through. I know Greg has, but I appreciate you all for listening. Until next time. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.